All right, I was just keeping going on and it was off. Okay, so, all right, welcome. So, I don't know where did I stop? Where did you hear me? Where did I stop? All right, but welcome. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of 8, and you're tuning into Unpacking and the Day. And my name is Mike Oshoveli. So, all right. Today, we are commemorating the day of the Africa, of the Namibian woman, and also it coincides together with the human right, international of human right. So that's what we're commemorating today. This is a public holiday. Most of you are probably in your bed and relaxing, but we gotta be here. So we gotta be here. Yeah, you know, talking to you, entertaining you, informing you exactly what and updating you of what is going on around and in and around the country. So good morning to you. So enjoy yourself. As long, I don't care where you are, whether you are in bed, you know, at home or at work, as long as you're listening, that's commendable. And thanks for choosing Eagle FM. For being in your company this morning. It's a pleasure for us being in your company this morning. And as usual, thanks for joining us. So today is the 10th of the 12th, 10th of the 12th, 10th of December. And that's why we, as I said, on 10th of December. So let's see. On this day in Africa, what today on 10th of December marks some important milestone in an African history. So let's start with our first segment on this day in Africa. So let's start with Namibia. Let's start with the day that we're commemorating. Namibia is commemorating December the 10th as the day of the Namibian woman to honor the pivotal role and immense sacrifices made by women during the country's struggle for independence, especially during the tragic 1959 Old Dokesian uprising. Now, on December 10th, in 1959, resident of the Old Location in Windhoek protested against a forced relocation to a new ethnically segregated township called Katutura. She heard a word for the place where there is no staying. So now the women were at the forefront of the resistance, which included a boycott of municipal services and beer halls, an important source of income for many women at that time. So the protest escalated when police opened fire on the demonstrators, killing, as far as record that we know, 13 people and wounding about 44 people. So one of the casualties was Anna Kakruka de Mungunda, a courageous woman who is regarded as a national hero for her bravery during the confrontation. Now, the date also coincides with International Human Rights Day, underscoring the intersection of gender rights and universal human rights within Namibia's history and the ongoing fight for justice and equality. So the day serves as a platform to reflect on the achievement and the challenges facing Namibian women, advocate for gender equality, women empowerment, and address ongoing issues such as gender-based violence. So, and moving to our neighbor, moving across the neighbor on the 10th of December, Nelson Mandela signed the final version of the country's new post-apartheid constitution. This was a major step in South Africa's journey to democracy, ensuring equality, equality and universal citizenship for all its people. So, What makes this date even more significant is that it also happened to be International Human Rights Day, a powerful symbol of South Africans, of South Africa's commitment to human rights and justice. And finally, as December the 10th is also the day of Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was adopted in 1948 in Paris. So this declaration has been a cornerstone for the fight for dignity, justice, and equality. And African nations have long used this day to reflect on and promote these fundamental human rights. So that is a quick look at December 10 in African history on this day in Africa. So thanks for joining us and thanks for listening. So welcome. So what is our thought for the day today? What is our thought for the day today on the 10th of December? So it's a quote from Kevin Coolidge. You know, Kevin Coolidge, the person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave. So no person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave. All right? So no person was ever honored for what he received, but honor has been the reward for what he gave. So basically, the quote argues that true honor comes from what you give, your contribution, your effort, your services, your generosity or sacrifice that you make. So it emphasizes that honor is fundamentally tied to active contribution. So those who enrich others' life, maybe through service, kindness, sacrifice, teaching, protecting, helping, those who enrich others' lives build a legacy that society acknowledges. So the saying serves as a reminder that societal appreciation and moral aspects and moral respect are earned by what we contribute to community, to others' well-being, to justice, to knowledge, to compassion. So not by what we accumulate. All right? So the person was ever honored for what he received. No person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave. So whatever decision you make today, you know, and choices you make, make sure that, you know, it's fundamentally tied to your active contribution, you know. So to what we contribute, to what you contribute to community, to others, to other people, to others' well-being and to justice, to knowledge, to compassion. So, all right. So that's our thought for the day this morning. So good morning and welcome if you're just joining us. So welcome. Our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 8. So we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio, and I will be with you until 10 o'clock when I will be handing over to my colleagues in Windhoek, to Tate, France. So welcome. So what we have for you this morning, we will talk about today is the day of the Namibian woman. The Namibian woman, yes. We commemorate the day of the Namibian woman, Women's Day. Today is Women's Day, and also International Human Rights. So we going to talk to someone in a few minutes, looking at this at a different angle. You know, women struggle. You know, looking at women's struggle, especially looking at her mental health as a human right. So that's what we're looking at, and if we have time, and definitely we will have time, we're also going to look at one of the of the article in today's edition of the Villager, and make sure, as I always said, make sure that you subscribe not to miss some of these important articles. So it's out. So make sure that you get a copy, and you can only do that by subscribing. So subscribe, and what you need to do is just send your name and your email address to 081-241-44. Subscribe, and you definitely will be receiving your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And do that now if you haven't done that already, so that your Friday copy will be coming to you directly, right in the palm of your hand. All right? So then we will look at that story. The Free Tertiary Education Plan won't include everyone. It's a story by Dwight Link. So we look at that. So and of course, your participation will also be part of the show, of course. So stay tuned. When we come back, we talk to our guest this morning.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Shikawa shafasa na nana longeshefa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisamweni. Anageshefa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayaguro mirandito mwa iwe yongeshefa yoyo kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende time meha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa vetu. Moambo lengira selma onarahe tatuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oliyaj. Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM.
Yes, welcome to Eagle FM, and good morning to you, and good morning to you if you just joining us now. And this is Unpacking the Day. We are honoring Namibian Women's Day, a day that echoes the courage of heroes like Anaka Krukade Mungunda, who defied apartheid in 1959. So, but behind our celebration, many women battle silent storm, trauma from violence, the weight of poverty and cultural pressure that strain their mental health. Now, is mental wellness a human right for Namibian women? So joining me to unpack this is Henrietta Paulus, a dedicated medical advocate who is being at the forefront of empowering our youth and tackling these challenges head on. So good morning. Henrietta, and thanks for being here.
Good morning, Mr. Mike, and thank you for having me.
All right. Today we are commemorating the Namibian woman, and Why? And also today is also an international human rights day. So why was December 10 chosen to honor Namibian women? Just your opinion. Why was it, you know, chosen to honor Namibian women alongside International Human Rights Day?
Yes, thank you so much. Mm. As adopted from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948, Namibian women were the center of liberation struggle, and their stories are often overlooked. Mm. So then we chose this day to honor Namibian women, just so that we restore the dignity, the pride that they fought with during the liberation struggle, and also that we have few women such as Anna Kakurukade Mongoda, who chose not to be silenced, but to continue to echo their voices. Hence, we are then now celebrating the Women's Day on this right day, on the 10th of December.
All right. So, and how do you see that spirit of defiant of heroes like Anna Kakurukade Mongoda back in 1959 still echoing in the lives of Namibian women today?
Her spirit is definitely still echoing. Her courage didn't just die in 1959. And as you see currently, we have women that are boldly speaking out on issues such as gender-based violence, mental health. We have single mothers that are raising families in almost nothing. Mm. And we also have other students, female students also, that are also pursuing and just pushing through studies despite trauma and all. So her spirit still lives in every Namibian woman till today, and her spirit of "I deserve better" still keeps going. Mm-hmm. So her spirit still living amongst us.
Yeah, no, that "I deserve better." Yeah. So and how does the legacy of women like her connect to today's, because that's what we want us to focus on a little bit. So how does that connect to today's mental health struggles of women?
Anna fought against systems that tried to silence her. And today, like I said, many women are fighting their own internal battles. So these are battles against stigma, pressure, trauma, and all other things. Mm. So her legacy is still, it's still reminding us that mental health is existing, but you can fight through it. If she fought through the system, she fought against the systems that wanted to diminish her, how about us? We can still fight through the mental health struggles that you are going through.
Yeah. So are there particular, maybe law or systemic, policy or whatever, that actually undermine women, still undermining women today, or any other aspect that are undermining women today?
We don't really have a particular law. In fact, the Namibian government has done so much to protecting women and girls, to empowering girls. As you can see, we are now the president, we are leading the country. But there are still existing barriers. Of course, we have stigma. Mm. People still think that just mental health is a rich people's problem and not just anyone's problem. Yes, so those are still existing barriers that are preventing us from moving forward when it comes to mental health illness, especially when it comes to women and boys as well. But today is Women's Day, so we have to focus on women, unfortunately. So there are still existing barriers, but systems per se, we don't really have a system that is undermining women, because we are trying to empower women.
All right. Now, for a woman listening right now who feels completely alone in her struggle, you know, what would you want her to know first and foremost?
The first thing I would want her to know is that you are not alone, even though it looks like it. You are not going through it alone, and it will definitely come to an end. It might look slower. It might look like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, like we said, but surely it will come to an end. And also, you are not broken. You are not failing. You are literally just healing and surviving the trauma that you've gone through. So give yourself time and you'll be okay.
All right. So, but there is also an issue of constant stress of economic hardship, you know, making ends meet, especially for women. How does that affect women's mental health over time?
it really chipped away.
They are expected to be strong, to be resilient. Yes. Would that not be also contributing maybe to their mental health?
It is, because now, for example, a 59-year-old who is in front of their kids, they have to remain strong, even though they are maybe emotionally breaking down. They have to be strong for the kids, so they wouldn't want the kids seeing the mother breaking down. But like I said, internally, it's them battling all this. So them being to be strong just adds another layer of stress on them, because now they are just bottled up feelings in them that they can't express because they have to be strong for other people. And that's another factor, like you said.
Yeah. So now today we are talking today because of Namibian Women's Day. And why is it so important for you now to link this day with mental health as a human right?
It is important because we can't really celebrate human rights without including mental health. Because if somebody is not mentally in capacity to be where they are supposed to be, then then they won't be able to celebrate human rights. So we can't really celebrate women and then we ignore their suffering, and their suffering includes mental health. So if the woman is not, like I said, is not safe emotionally or psychologically, then we haven't honored her. Then we haven't honored her human rights. So health is a right, it's a human right, and this includes mental health as well. Hence, we are celebrating this tool today.
So, and when we say her mental health is a human right, what does that mean in practical terms?
In practical terms, it just means that we need, or she deserves, access to counseling, for example, without shame. A woman shouldn't be in a workplace that abuses her. Shouldn't be in a house that abuses her. That's not right. That's not human rights. So she needs to be able to access care in her free world. She needs to be free wherever she is, and whenever abuse comes up, she needs to be able to look for help without any other barriers that are existing. For example, somebody who is abused shouldn't be able to walk a long distance to find help. Should have help on their hands right away when abuse happens. So that's what it means.
Yeah. And in your experience, now when we're talking about mental health, what are the first signs that women's mental health is being affected, maybe, let's say, for example, by abuse or by pressure? So what are those signs that you would observe?
The signs are usually subtle. It takes one to really point it out that she is going through some mental breakdown, because they usually isolate themselves, they usually lose interest in what they love doing. But most of the time, like I said, for women, they have to stay strong. So she can't really isolate herself when she's the center of the household. But most of the time, it's isolation and also losing interest in what they love doing. Otherwise, others, then they might break down and cry, or they are visually very emotional. And also, some of them can be irritable. So somebody can just be like, oh, my mom is so irritable, and then she's going through the emotional breakdown.
Yeah. Yeah. This you mentioned it earlier on when I was asking the practical way. But the other, what I wanted to know is also, which could be when we're talking about poverty, you know, how does poverty really deepen the mental health struggle facing women? Because the majority, we're living now in a situation where many, not only women, but many young people and many women also facing a whole question of unemployment. So how does poverty affect mental health struggle facing women?
Poverty, like I say, like I like saying, is it's a disease on its own.
Yeah.
But when there's poverty, it confines you, it limits you to how much you can really go out there. And it especially affects your mindset, because literally everything that you do is linked to your mindset.
Mm.
So when you have that mindset that, okay, I'm living in poverty and I can't do anything else, yeah, then it limits you.
We have a commercial coming up, né? And we're going to come back to this. Just hold on.
Okay.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So yeah, we were talking about the how poverty, you know, affect women going through facing mental health problems. How does poverty deepen the mental health struggle facing women? Yeah, so.
Yes, so like I was saying, that it affects your mindset, and once it affects your mindset, then you have less options. So it literally steals your options. For example, a woman going through an abusive relationship will choose to stay because they think they don't have any other options, because this abusive partner is the provider.
Hmm.
So it just limits you and prevents you from accessing other options and accessing care as well. So it puts you in cycles of stress. You can't even go and seek for help anywhere, because now you don't have means, you don't have money to just take that taxi to go to the next counselor next town. So it just threats you. So poverty alone is already a disease, and then now it adds on the burden on mental health illness.
Yeah. So now, given our family dynamic at this point in time, do you think a family dynamic protect women, or are there certain aspects that harm their mental well-being?
It depends. I would say it depends, because there are those supportive families. And when you have a supportive family, it's like you have a lifeline on its own. You have a lifeline just next to you.
Yeah.
So there's families that just offer love. There are those families that also have people that are now informed about mental health, and they know what maybe the parents have gone through, and they try to just support them and understand where they are coming from. However, we have other families that that really just are the source of trauma, or they can augment trauma, because one, maybe they don't understand what trauma means and what healing requires, and therefore they just add more burden on that person that is already going through trauma or that has gone through trauma. So it can be, feminists can be protective, but feminists can also harm, depending on their level of empowerment, one, and also what they have seen, what they have gone through as a whole family on its own.
Yeah. Earlier on, you mentioned that, you know, there are people who believe that, you know, mental health is it's only something for the rich, you know.
Yes.
So are there any other myths about mental health in Namibia that we need to break?
Yes, there are other myths. One of the myths is that mental health is a spiritual failure. Other myths are that mental health is for weak people. So you have to show up strong for you to act like you are not depressed, or you have to read your Bible because you are depressed. So there's a few myths that you have in the media, and they are actually affecting us from accessing care, because now, yes, I'm depressed and I'm reading chapters in the Bible, which is needed, but then I'm also preventing myself from going to the hospital. I might need the pharmacological management of depression, but since I'm not seeking out there, because I believe that it's a spiritual failure, so it will prevent me from seeking out pharmacological management. So others is the weakness point of it. So another, we have to bottle up their feelings, like I said, just because they need to appear very strong, and they always refuse, that they're always in denial that maybe they're going through depression or they need help. So those are the few myths that are actually preventing us from accessing care.
Yeah, the spiritual aspect, how impactful is it when it, because the reason why I'm asking this, it has become now kind of like many people find themselves in a very distressful situation just because of what they have been told, of things they have been told for either from their church or their pastors or something like this. How impactful is that in Namibia, really?
I think it's very impactful because you find a lot of people actually turning away from seeking care at the hospital to going to church, which is also needed because spiritually you need to balance both because it's life either way. Life is very spiritual. But then it now limits one from knowing when to go to the hospital and when to remain in church. So a lot of people end up remaining in church for long while going through depression and all that when they would have spent the time to get their pharmacological treatment at the hospital, and then they continue going to church. So that's where now the balance comes in. So most of us don't know when to balance these two because, of course, like I said, life is spiritual, but then you also need the help of medication at times.
Yeah.
So it's really impactful.
And what are some of the physical health problems that can emerge when mental health struggles are left unaddressed sometimes?
The very obvious one, especially when you're growing up in the northern parts of Namibia, you always hear, "No, you're making me stress, I'll get high blood pressure." So high blood pressure is one. High blood pressure is one. You also get sleep problems. You find that one of the signs of depression is sleeping problems. So this person cannot just sleep, or they wake up too early. So sleeping problems, definitely one of them also. Others can have hormonal issues, and also even just chronic headaches. Every time a granny is just complaining about the chronic headaches. So these are some of the physical illnesses that can arise if depression goes untreated.
Yeah. So you mentioned hormonal issues. What about hormonal issues?
So hormonal issues, especially when it comes to women in their reproductive age group, so they tend to, you find that you have your menstruation cycle keep changing, or this time you get your periods, the next time you don't get your periods. So it's just because of the stress that is also, because when you look at the biological part of the stress, it alters so much in your body that it then also alters your hormones. So then the manifestations will now, maybe your periods are less than usual, or you are not getting your periods, and also you get acne and all that. So that's how it affects.
Yeah. Now, as we live in the modern world now, and the social media is a huge part of life as we know it now. So how is it influencing the self image and anxiety of Namibian women and girls?
It's a double sword. It's a double edged sword because it adds so much pressure on somebody. Because remember, we are living, this is a world where we have filtered content. The person chooses what to post and chooses what to show the world. And other people can take it as if that's their real life when it's filtered life. So this just adds so much pressure on somebody. They might feel like they are less enough. They might feel pressure to work extra harder because other people are doing this when they are the same age and this person is not doing it. And also, there's also cyberbullying. Just a few days ago, we had launched the 16 days of activism at BeFree campus, and we watched a video of Amanda Todd. Yeah. She is, she was a 15-year-old that got humiliated via social media and got cyberbullied and ended up committing suicide at the age of 15. And this just shows how much impactful social media can be. Just that one picture that you posted and you think it's the best picture that you have, and then somebody comments and finds that, no, your nose looks like somehow, and then everyone starts pointing it out. So it can really just burn and tear somebody down. But the power of social media would really just greatly influence somebody on self-image, and that now depends on how well-grounded the person is.
Yeah.
So when you come on social media, you don't expect really real life, because remember, we are filtering. We are choosing what to show you. But when you choose to put that and compare that to your real life, then that's where the problem starts, and that's where it starts wearing you down.
Yeah. How do then, especially young women, we're talking about women today, but this is for everybody. How do we then protect ourselves that the social media doesn't exacerbate the effect or the impact of mental health or of our mental wellness?
Like I said, I love to say that your mindset is a powerful thing that you have, and whatever you put in your mind, whatever you set your mind to, will really just define everything else. So when you come on social media and you set your mind that this is social media, this is not real life, it could be real life. There are some people that really share their unfiltered story.
Yeah.
But then there are those ones that just choose, I have the best picture, let me post it like this, but this is not how I look every day.
Yeah.
So when you come there with that mindset that this is just social media, it's nothing compared to real life, it's nothing about me, it's nothing about that person, it's just social media, which is there for entertainment and other purposes, then that's where you then corner yourself from the unnecessary pressure that people give each other or that people get from social media. So it's really just your mindset. You just need to set it that this is social media, this is not real life, and it's not going to define who I am. It doesn't make me less of a human being. It doesn't make me look like I'm not working hard enough. I'm not doing so much. So it's really just your mindset. They just need to set their mind to understand that it's social media, and social media remains social media.
So and what are some simple let's say you know, if I'm at home where I might not need to go to the hospitals or so, what are some simple everyday coping mechanisms a woman can use to manage feelings, feeling of anxiety or being overwhelmed sometimes?
So whenever we are overwhelmed, especially when you're at school, I always tell my friends, please take a deep breath in, and then you blow out like you're blowing a candle. So that really helps, especially when you have anxiety at peak. For example, maybe at home and now you're just feeling anxious. So just take a deep breath and then you breathe out like you're blowing a candle.
Yeah.
But other ones, you can also, practical ones, you can also take a 5-minute break outside. If you are a woman that has maybe a house full of kids, you can decide to just isolate and just take a minute or 5 minutes walk outside just to distract yourself. And also, for young people like me, we can start journaling. Journaling really helps you unwind your feelings, because then you, if you don't unwind, if you don't write them down, then you end up bottling them and they'll keep haunting you because they're just bottled up there. And otherwise, you can talk to a traffic friend, you can talk to a counselor, you can talk to your sister, to anyone listening that you trust. And otherwise, just, importantly, just give yourself permission to rest without feeling guilt. I think that's one of the most powerful things to do, especially when you're anxious and you're overwhelmed. Go to sleep, rest without feeling any guilt, and you wake up refreshed and ready to go.
Yeah. Gender-based violence, it's one of the pressing issue in Namibia, and for women who probably who have survived GBV, is there a way to deal with trauma, and what is that way, and how do they, you know, how do they deal with issue of trauma, especially those who have survived gender-based violence or going through that?
The healing test is definitely not a straight line.
Yeah.
There are those days where you feel where she makes feel strong and she feels like she has won the battle. And there are other days where you break down and feel like you're back to square one.
Yeah.
But the one thing that they can do, or the steps that they can go through, is really just reclaiming safety, especially for women that have gone through gender-based violence. We just need to be reassured that it won't happen again. There's no more violence, and also slowly learning to live without fear, because somebody who is living through abuse or with violence every day, they're always constantly scared and fearful of their lives. So they need to just reassured and see that they can live, that they are living without fear now. Mm-hmm. The violence stuff is taken, or they are no longer living with violence. And then also otherwise, it's just therapy, community support. So now I'm thinking about somebody deep in Congo who maybe goes through abusive relationship, and now they need now to have their village just supporting them, where the neighbors supporting and all that, and also their children as well.
Yeah.
So that's really just the path of healing, because you need to go through therapy, you need to talk to somebody, but at the end of the day, you also need to just know that even if I'm talking to somebody, they still know source of violence.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Let's get to the policymakers, you know, and if you could advise our policymaker on one concrete action, you know, to take, what would that be?
I would say fund community-based mental health services, and this also includes our upcoming NGOs that we have. We really have a lot of NGOs out there. If you go on Instagram, TikTok, we really have young people that are championing all this. For example, one is Her Fight Is Ours. So if the government can fund, or the policymakers could support these already existing NGOs that support all this, I think we could go far, because these are people that reach now, so these are people that have stories, hence they started these NGOs. But otherwise, we also need a community-based mental health service. For example, we just have a center somewhere in the north where people can reach. Or maybe deep in Congo. I like using Congo as an example, because it's
really good. Are you from there?
No, I'm not from there, but I have been there.
Okay.
Yes. So if you could have a mental health service day, that's the way, especially this, at least for us young people, we have B3 campus in Windhoek where we can just go. But if you could have a lot of such in different towns or in different areas, then I think we could also make a difference.
Yeah. And there's a mental health bill, you know, coming up. I think it's in the parliament. It's being discussed in the parliament. It hasn't been passed yet. So what gap will it fill for women?
So it will definitely modernize and just restructure the mental health to what is now currently happening and not what previously used to happen. So it will bring dignity, it will bring accountability, and just it also promises better access to services. So this means that it will finally make access healthcare access better for women going through mental health crisis, such as maybe postpartum depression and also just trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
So it will really just modernize things.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, if you could spark one big societal change, you know, what would it be to better support women's mental health as a human right?
I think I'll end the culture of silence.
Mm.
I would encourage women to speak up more, because when you speak out, obviously you get recognized, and also you just make yourself free from whatever you're keeping in. So I think the culture of silence, especially within our elders, these are elders, these are people that go through abuse on a daily basis from their partners, from their grandchildren. Every time you read in the newspaper, a grandchild killed or abuses their grandmother or their grandfather. So I think this issue of silencing is really the one that is preventing us from moving a step forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that I really to bring into change in the society.
And, well, finally, as we celebrate Namibia Women Day, what is your message of strength and hope for the women of Namibia?
Dear Namibian women, you are powerful, you are worthy, you are more resilient than you know. So today we just honor your strength. We honor your toughness. We honor everything that you do. So keep going.
Well, thank you, Ms. Paulus, for joining us this morning. Thank you for shining a light on these unseen battles and for reminding us that honoring Namibian women means fighting for their mental well-being and not just their milestones. So you remind us that mental health is a right and protecting it is an act of justice. So thanks for joining us, and we appreciate making time to be with us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Igor FM, for having me. It was lovely having a chat with you.
And have a great day. Have a great Women's Day. Yeah.
You too.
All right. All right. That was Dr. Henriette Paulus helping us to shining lights on these unseen battles, you know, of mental health. All right. Yeah, if you want to react to that, and also, you know, anything on this day, it's a Women's Day, so you're most welcome to come through and contribute. So it's a Women's Day, a day, the day of Namibian women, and the Human Rights Day. So anything that you want to say, Ed, or just talk about in deadline, you're most welcome. A very good morning.
Yes, Dr. Michael.
Yes.
How is the day?
So far, so good. It's becoming hot again.
Yeah, true.
But this you enjoy it while it lasts, my dear. So, yeah. So it becomes hot again. Yeah, but we thank God, though, as they said, you know.
True.
Yeah.
So that Negro.
Yeah.
The women say it a lot. Audibly.
Yeah.
The little calls that we're having interviews.
Yeah.
They said a lot of really things which are really obstructing some Indian women to progress. And I'm looking at the system. I think the system also subjecting to women. Growth in Namibia, especially when you're talking about like the law, and the law by law. When I mean it by law, it's like the local authority which you are having.
Yeah,
remember, people are doing so much of them. It's a mere woman.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and these people are subject to the by law every time they've been chased. They are losing their good and so many things.
Yeah, these zoning laws, municipalities, yeah.
Exactly. And now we're finding the situation where even men, they become, I don't know, not anymore like a provider, especially in Namibia. That's why they are learning away from their responsibilities, which is a law again. Trying to, at least we are trying to promote women, which is good, but again, we are forgetting the boy child.
Yeah.
At the end of, who is going to suffer? A woman again. Because the father, they will come there and they will be fatherless. Their kids. Because they are running away from the villages, because they are not able to provide anything, the bread in the table. And now, you make a woman to suffer more for this.
Yeah.
Because you are not addressing all the equal opportunity which you are creating for women. I can give you an example.
Yeah.
I think I even watched one of the, it's a long time in our history. And they're saying when a woman is there behind a man, I mean, a success is always behind the sex of a man is always behind the strong woman.
Yeah.
And with this, we can narrate also with a woman. When you see a woman try things through, is that is a husband, is the one. Look, we can look at our talents present.
Yeah.
What of the men? Otherwise, she will not actually what is she have.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the other part, the other half part of yours actually pulling you down, you definitely will not be able to succeed.
the success that is happening. Yeah.
Mm. So that's what it's very, very, very important.
You have a support. You need the support. That's why today we are having a lot of single women running the household.
Yeah.
In Namibia, especially in Namibia. You can go there, we can even say, this thing is not done strategically, but you can see. That's why we have a white boy now doing unnecessary things with support not to be done because the father is absent in their life.
Mm.
They've been molested by a single woman. And as a boy child, it's always need somebody, either uncle around the family.
Yeah. Are the values that we abandoned that bring us to? Of course, there are also socioeconomic issues. Of course, we're talking about unemployment and all that. One of the biggest problem, slow economic growth and all that. But are there some values that we have abandoned that would have actually, you know, for example, hard working. Say, for example, hard working. I'm looking now, talking about socioeconomic issues. In young people now, and in women as well, you know, there aren't those values where a person see themselves as I'm something valuable, you know. I don't know. I don't want to say that women have become cheap. That's not the word that I want to use, actually.
I understand that there
are certain values that women should hold, you know.
Yeah.
And because they are more, what is the word I'm looking for?
I think we want to say even moral and the dignity.
Yeah,
we are looking.
They are more dignified. I'm not saying men are not, but I'm just saying, you know, women are the nature, and if we lose those values and quality of a woman, then we lose the nation. You understand?
I'm telling you. That's why gender-based violence in Namibia is escalating, because we are trying to address one gender.
Yeah.
And we forget that, you know, the perpetrator always is a man.
Mm.
What we're supposed to do, we're supposed to drive all of them together. Because once we are sidelining one person, and this is not really to do with us.
Yeah.
It's a system which is brought to us. And look at the base of the people who have brought the system in their country. Go to America today, you always see how many senators.
Yeah.
And you go around even and look out there, how many CEO are there in their companies. Unless you find a woman on top, either to be a secretary of state, but she's been followed by men. And the top is a man again.
Yeah.
And they're wondering why every time in Africa we are, like in Namibia, we have all women in the cabinet and then only a few men. That's why this is, it's always coming back to hunt the women.
Mm.
Whether we like it or not. And this is why I'm saying, whatever we are trying, even, I remember the other time people are talking about, no, women have been abused and they have been late. I'm wondering, like, no, you are not supposed to address the women. This is not, it's got nothing to do with a woman.
Yeah.
You have to address the perpetrator is a man.
Yeah.
A man is supposed to be understand the value of the woman. And we don't do that.
Hmm.
We have all the associations addressing the woman problem.
Yeah. The other problem is that when we have many men in jail and also absent in the family, as you said earlier on, definitely who instill this value in young people, you know? They are growing up on their own. Well, actually, they are growing up with TV and mm-hmm. social media. That's where they actually learning the values.
The value, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You are not building or destroying it.
Yeah, you're not building the character of person that you want in a society.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, so, yeah, those are some of the issues, yeah.
And the thing is, what you are forgetting is that what I'm telling you, that no, we need to push each other, like always they are saying. Look, like now with the current situation in what even is happening, in Africa.
Yeah.
In Africa continent. Is that when we see we are approaching them in a human rights day, but if you see the women are still subject to the, what a lot of law which I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. are supposed to be addressed. But at the end of the day we are not addressing that. We are trying to compare women to men.
Mm.
And we have that fight now, which is unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because these things are, the person who bought it, they are not doing the same. You will find more men going to work, and they have a salary which is divided by a woman who's taking care of the kids at home, taking the kids to the what? Daycare.
Mm-hmm.
But in Africa, we're doing it the way around. You find a man squatting his wife because he's unemployed.
Yeah.
And escorting to the tax every time. And now the woman, the man is the one who doing everything in the house, cooking and washing the dishes and so on. You see?
Yeah, you have, to, be, you have to be useful, man.
Yeah. Oh, you have to.
You have to be useful.
It's what I'm saying. And this is the thing, is not supposed to be that way. Because mm-hmm. remember one thing. Once you put a man down, you put everything. Not only you put a house down, you destroy that house. Because what you did, the men become, you know, as a man when we are growing up, we always like to test anything. That's why you see, even you put them a kid like a girl and a boy.
Yeah.
You put one girl, them together like in the corner. You say, no, stay in this corner. Nobody touch this toy. I'm telling you, just giving them like 5 minutes, that girl will not move. But the boy, as long as you are not in the picture, he's already there.
Yeah.
He's already even trending the chair to go and, mm-hmm. my friends.
Yeah.
That's why this world is built by the men, not by women. Women are followers and the women are the one keeping the men to be strong. Because every time they are preparing for you dinner, they are preparing for you a breakfast. But once you have Africa, which we have today, adopting a system which was something, and these people who are bringing in the system, they are not really using it
yeah.
the way we are narrating in Africa. We are destroying Africa forever. Because a man doesn't have any voice anymore. Once he doesn't have a payslip in the house.
Yeah. So let's hear what others have to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, from my shortly, just my conclusion.
Yeah.
Well done to those people who are celebrated as the heroes and the heroes, Kagogadi Mungade and the others.
Yeah.
Seriously, we are celebrating their day. And remember one thing that for us to fulfill their dream is by working together.
Yeah.
By not compelling and fighting for one another who's better. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming through, yeah?
All right.
All right.
It's the Day of the Namibian Women and the International Human Rights Day. So good morning. And what is your take? I had an interview with Dr. Paulus this morning. And what is your take? What is your reaction to what we have covered? So our focus was more on the mental health for women. Given what they're going through, given all the pressures of life that women actually in Namibia are going through, and we talking anything that has to do with this day, you're most welcome to contribute your thought. What are you thinking about Namibian women? We're celebrating them today. This is their day. And also Human Rights Day. So, yeah, what is your focus? What is your take? What is your contribution? What is your opinion on this day? So 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So that's the number you can call to get to me in the studio. So, and we are in Ondango Studio. So please make sure that you get to me. 08 083-333-66091. We come back after this.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She calls a fat and a nana, longish fat. Yai. We come, she wanna. E. Moyawa, or Tango got some money. Anna, she fat. Tengo got the money. Anna de Sifa Yanamibia, on the Tom Banawa or Jika. Faithanina Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongesifa Yokupiramo, Igelefem Media House. We 20 Pimeneha Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara Omkashifreki, we mopo, your more program. A little more and more than get a Selma, Kodaraheta Tim, Tatunda to Hari Hamanotano. On the arch.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you see?
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. If you can still hear me, this is sometime we're going on and off. I don't know why. All right, it's a rain season. It's starting to be rainy. It sometimes affect, you know, the broadcasting. We may be going on and off. Hopefully we are on now. I hope you can hear me. We are on now. All right. It looks that way. So good morning again. Thank you for joining us. And, let's get to our second story of on the show this morning. What is happening? Something is not right. All right. So, yeah, good morning and welcome. You are listening to Eagle FM and this is Unpacking the Day. This is Unpacking the Day and I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli. So we are here to do more than just, you know, read the headlines. You know, we are here to dig deep, to understand why, you know, to understand the why behind the what. Understand the why behind the what and what it truly means to you and to me and to your family and to the Namibian people. So today, we are looking at the government's plan for free, for free tertiary education. It's a promise that sparks some hope, you know, a potential game changer, you know, for thousands and thousands of young Namibians. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a story we have it today. It is today. It's also in today's, and today's edition of The Villager, story by Dwight Lynch. So check that out. So, yeah, let's unpack that. Let's unpack the details of that, the logic, the controversy, the real-world impact of who gets a free ride and who gets, you know, left behind. So let's look at some of those. And we will also look at the government's tight rope walk between ambition and reality. So we, you know, let's look at that as well and ask the critical question, is this the best way to build the these things keep falling out. I don't know why this is we keep in and off, okay? I don't know, something need to be done. Technical people, what is going on? You know, we keep going off, on and off, you know? All right? So please do something. All right. So now, all right. So let's look at, if you haven't seen the letter that actually the minister have actually written, explaining, you know, what the cabinet or the task force have recommended, and eventually what now, you know, what is the way forward. So let's look at who is out, you know, and if you haven't heard anything, please pay attention, you know, pay absolutely attention. So according to the announcement, yeah, so the minister made an announcement, all right? So according to the announcement, if you are pursuing a second qualification at the same level, say a second bachelor degree, for example, you won't qualify, okay? We're looking at who is out, okay? This is one criteria. This is one rules that disqualifies you, okay? So you can't pursue a second qualification at the same level, okay? So you won't qualify, all right? So if you are repeating a year, another thing is that if you are repeating a year, your funding gets cut off. So if you didn't finish, if you're repeating a year, so your funding will be cutting off. And if you are not a Namibian citizen, this program is not for you. So you won't be included in this. So, and if you are studying at a private institution that isn't properly accredited, that is not properly accredited or doesn't meet the national qualifying standard, you are on your own, my friend. You will be on your own. All right. Make sure that you are in an institution that is properly accredited and meet the national quality standard, which is actually a good thing. Yeah. I think this is, the government doesn't want to waste money on something that is not, you know, it's not accredited or that it doesn't have quality standard. I can understand that. And perhaps most significantly for our future postgraduate, you know, if you are aiming for a master or a PhD, that funding is on hold indefinitely. You know, I was hoping I'm going to do my PhD or something. And now, nope, I won't be able to do that unless I have to fork some money. I have to fork from my own pocket, you know. So that is also out. If you are thinking, you know, you're going to do your master or your PhD, you are not part of this program. So let's flip the other side, okay? If you want to read the details, make sure that you have you look at the article in today's edition of The Villager by Dwight Link. So it has some more details that you can go into. All right? So, yeah, let's flip the side. Who is in? Who will be, you know, subsidized? The main beneficiary will be Namibian citizen pursuing their first undergraduate qualifications. You know, that's from now certificate up to a degree, even up to an honors degree, at our public institution, like, you know, and then it should be in our public institution, like UNAM and NAST, and the tuition for those one, their tuition and registration fee will be fully covered. Those are the main beneficiary in this program. So, and it should be a Namibian citizen. Remember, the foreigners are out already. We were looking who's out. So you should be a Namibian. And now let's pause and maybe analyze a little bit of this. Some of this exclusion make it make logical and financial sense. And remember, I was saying the other one. I was saying, you know, of course, if you're going to an institution that's not properly accredited, why would the government actually waste their money? You know, the government is not a printing. It doesn't print money. Eh? The government doesn't print money. The money is coming from our taxes. So from a finite national budget, though we don't have unlimited national budget to cater for everything. So we must remember we have a finite national budget. So there should be a very, 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 exclusion. They make financial sense. I said they make financial sense. It may not be, it might not make moral sense or other factors or aspect that we're gonna look at later on. Okay. Now the minister is essentially actually drawing a line in the sand. You know, you have heard that, draw a line in the sand. She's saying the primary goal here is to create a first generation. I think the primary goal is to create a first generation of highly qualified graduates. And hopefully it doesn't become that we only have this highly qualified graduate and we don't have specialized, because if you are a postgraduate, it's for now, it's not included. So hopefully we don't just have this, qualified graduate. And this is the goal. As I said, this is the goal here. And it's about getting as many new people into the system as possible. I think that's the whole idea here. So funding someone for a second degree or for repeating a year could be seen as an inefficient, inefficient use of a scarce resources, of course. So, and that's why I said, it make financial sense in a way. We have to use what we have in a best way, I think. Yeah. So on a human level, as I said, it may not, because someone who may have actually may be repeating because of some factors. Okay. Maybe he didn't got NASA. He didn't get actually, he couldn't get study loan last year, and then he couldn't actually succeed. He couldn't go ahead. So it's repeating, but what are the circumstances surrounding his repeating? That those are some of unfairness that that this whole thing is all about. So sometimes it's maybe needed to look at individual circumstances. Rather than just a blanket, So, yeah, but I also understand where this is coming from. As I said, of course, you don't want to, So we have we have a scarce resources, so we need to use it effectively. But the other thing is that, when it's come down to someone funding someone for a second degree or for repeating a year could be seen as that inefficiency. As I said, it could be seen as an inefficiency of use of scarce resource. But let's also challenge that, okay? A bit, okay? Now, what about, let's say for example, you have a 35-year-old mother of three or four or five, it doesn't matter. That's what also Dr. Paulus was talking about. So a mother of three in Wavish Bay, okay, who was a cleaner, but now want to retrain as a nurse, for example, okay? So is her ambition less valuable? Now, when you look at now these rules, is her ambition less valuable because She is seeking a second qualification in that way. So is her ambitions now less valuable? So as I said, maybe things need to be taken on one-on-one basis and circumstances surrounding people. So because this, you definitely, the ambitions of someone who find themselves in this situation become shattered, become shattered. So what about students? Say also, what about a student from a poor background, who failed the first year? Now, due to, let's say, for example, immense pressure of adapting to a varsity life, or he just didn't have money to continue. Now, cutting their funding might save money, of course, in a short term, but does it not risk trapping them, these people that you want, you know, that you really want to upgrade, if you like, you know, does not actually risk trapping them and their family into that circle of poverty? So this is something that we need to look at. I don't know how you go about it, but somehow, especially when it comes to the second qualifications, if it was at the same time, like you're doing this at the same time, that would be totally different. But if it's just that, you know, you have done a course already, this is your second qualifications, maybe you haven't finished the other one, given whatever circumstances were, so you should be allowed. You should be definitely allowed. Okay, I understand the other side as well, that that the resources are very scarce, you know, and government need to do what they need to do. But yeah, so is there no room really? Is there no room for second chance in our vision for educated Namibian? So that's the question. What do you think yourself now? And then there is an issue of quality. Okay, there is an issue of quality. The minister rightly pointed out that funding will only go to institution and programs accredited by NQA and NCHE. All right. So, and this is very crucial. It is very crucial because we have a mushrooming of institutions that just pop up, you know, and offer subjects, or you know, and they are not accredited by these institutions. So we cannot have public money. Of course, we cannot have public money, you know, flowing to dubious colleagues offering substandard education. I think that's the right way to do that. Definitely, I would agree. You know. And this is a powerful stick to force all institutions to raise their game. This is also now to say, well, if you want for us to pay for students that are coming to your institution, raise your game, my dear. Okay? So we continue after this.
Imbaya rire ombo nai etotla weda ko ombu ni kiro ombe ombi hukusha njiviro yoye irire ombu pu wa hatane na wina ikare na masa kumurungi wa indu weri wengere kusha umune ondengu okura kwe imba una ovi une vya peke kwa rondola mirongo vipati na hangu umwe staa kwika ovi inki nukukara noruta ondando ya peke yukia nja oshinariva owa presente dano kumyeze vipati na oshinariva owa presente umurongo kumyeze hambo umwe moshinariva owa presente umurongo ivari na dano Kumyeze umurongo na izari moshinarifu Ituarerera ondengu Tima yu ungura na wakove Na wina wanyangu kife Ashiesho imba Yekupe oshinariva Shishu hina omarifiro Imba o maoronga neno Oyeru haka enina Itako na wina rishangita Jinun
Alright, welcome back. So we're looking at the announcement of subsidized tertiary educations and what Minister Steenkamp have outlined, who were qualified and who will not qualified. We're looking at some of those, and we're looking at all the aspects that that are in her announcement. This is also an article. If you want details of that as well, you know, make sure that you get a copy of The Villager and go and read for yourself in detail. So we're looking at the issue of quality, and I was definitely confirming, supporting the minister, when she rightly pointed out that funding will only go to institutions and programs accredited by NQA and NCHE. So, and we cannot, as I said, we shouldn't definitely, with public money, we shouldn't be flowing. We cannot have public money flowing to dubious fly-by-night kind of college offering substandard educations. So I think that's a right, I can call it a ruling. That's a right ruling, okay? And it's a powerful force. It's a powerful stick to force all institutions also to raise their game, you know, to make sure that they improve and they get all the qualifications that are needed in terms of, you know, accredited. So, and it's protecting, it's also, and in this way, it's actually protecting students, because there are those who do, you do courses, they tell you, no, we will be accredited and we are what, and then sometimes they lie and all that. You finish and then your qualification is worth nothing, absolutely nothing. So it protects students from being exploited and ensures the qualification they work so hard for actually means something in the job market. Otherwise, you know, you spend your 3 years or how many years, and then you realize that you spend so much money, and then you realize that actually the paper you have is absolutely worth nothing. Okay? So I think that's a way to go. I definitely agree with that. So, and this one of the strongest part of the policy, I think, aligning directly with an NCHE mandate, which is actually to uphold standard. So it's to uphold standard. But it also reveals, some hidden challenge, if you like. So the capacity of our public institution. So if 1,000 more students are now incentivized, you know, to flock to UNAM and NUST and wherever university where you are, IUM, because it's free. Are our university, for example, ready? Are they ready? Do they have enough lecture halls? Do they have enough accommodation? Do they have enough professors? You know? So the whole idea is to make, to let more, you know, into institution. That's what it is, to let more into the institutions. But the question now is, it's about, you know, do this institution, have you improved the institution, you know, to accommodate more? Okay? Do you have enough lecture hall? Do you have enough, you know, accommodation? Do you have enough professors? Eh? So one, you can look at this in two ways. So this policy could be the best thing to ever happen to our public institution, forcing rapid expansion, you understand? Forcing that rapid expansion and investment, or it could overwhelm them. So now it could overwhelm them, leading to decline in the very quality the minister is actually trying to protect. So the success of this plan, it doesn't just depend on the money for fees, you understand? It depends on the parallel massive investment in the infrastructure of education itself. Yeah? You need professors, you need lecture halls, you need, you know. You need all that. There must be also a massive investment in the infrastructure of education. It's not just about, you know, the fees is, the fees have fallen. It's not just the fees have fallen, but also the infrastructure need to be improved, absolutely improved. Personnel, human resources has to be improved, you know? Okay, now let's talk about the elephant in the room, okay? You know what's the elephant in the room? The postgraduate studies. Now, the blanket hold of funding for masters and PhDs, I think it's a potential bomb. It's a potential, not a potential bomb, it's a potential time bomb for our national development. Seriously, think about it. Yeah, think about it. Who will be the future lecturer at UNAM? When you're not funding this, who will be the lecturer? You know, the future researcher finding solution for our drought problem, for example, or flood problems. Yeah? The future doctor specialized in critical field. You remember we were talking about special doctors the other day, that we lack special doctors. Doctors in special field. Now, so the future doctors specializing in those critical fields, if you're not funding this, they all need postgraduate degrees. Eh? They all need that. So, and the minister says, national list of priority field is needed. He said that is what is needed first. And then she's absolutely right in terms of that. We cannot, so because we cannot really afford fund postgraduate in a very single field equally. So we need to strategically now, which is I think we need strategically to align this with our national development goals, the NDP6. So, but there are still, but we still have sectors that need that if we oh man, what is going on? Let's keep going off and on and off. Yeah. All right. Then finally, let the execution of student exclusion, not execution. execution of students studying abroad. My good Lord. No, exclusion also of students studying abroad. As I said, that is a double-edged sword. It is it's a powerful statement in terms of invest in Namibian institution and build Namibia capacity. But what about highly specialized field? What about now that are not available here yet? You still have field that are not available here yet. You know, what about student with a passion for oceanography? Eh? We don't have study in oceanography or nuclear physics. Okay? So what happened to those? Do we tell them to simply choose something else? And these are the areas, skills that we need. This policy protects national sovereignty, but potentially at the cost of a global excellency and that niche skills that we need. So I think that's also something that they need to look at, because some field, if we exclude students studying abroad, there are some skills that are not available yet. There are some special field that are not available yet in Namibia. So we need to relook at that. So Because especially within with some sectors that require specialized skills, how do we do that? All right? So do come through. Our telephone number 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So you're welcome to come through. We're talking about the announcement from the Ministry of Education on the plan for subsidized educations. So the in and out, who will be benefiting and who will not.
Very good morning.
Yes, that's Mike.
Yes.
Sorry to come back, but I will not take long.
That's all right. So there's
3 minutes.
People on the public holiday, I think.
Yeah, people are enjoying their...
Yeah. Now I can know that they only call when they're at work, you know.
Yeah. To sneak out those hours.
Yeah, they sneak out those hours. Now they actually expose themselves, you know.
Yeah. And sometimes the wife also demand that. Or girlfriend.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, let us talk about education.
Yeah.
I fought the free education to be exclusive for everybody.
It's not, yeah.
Which is Mike so questionable.
Mm.
Because I'm looking at now, you have people who are doing postgraduate, they are not included and what?
Yeah.
And now you look at
those who are studying abroad.
Yeah, those ones are starting abroad and those ones are repeating.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, how is this thing going to be transparent when it comes to finance, which are given to institutions? And we know already some of the institutions, we don't want to mention names, where things are happening already, like where they are finding even the people who are already out of the system.
So
it's very questionable, because I thought maybe they are going to give everybody favor, and now looking at the people who qualify and the next one who are not qualified.
But I don't think that would be also possible, because I mean definitely we have, as I said earlier on, we have finite national budget, we won't be able to do that.
We understand, but remember, we have a minority under the president now.
Yeah.
And I think that money is going to be generated for good use.
Mm.
Because remember, there are individuals who used to get the...
Yeah. But I agree also with you. I agree also with you in terms of that. If we, if we can use properly the money that we have, we can be able to do that for everybody.
We can.
Yeah, it's just that money is being squandered
I'm telling you, for individuals, I'm talking even like, even we focus also on to our sea.
Mm.
Because they are individually with their daughters and their in-law. You just imagine somebody a fallen account from anywhere is married to somebody, a politician who is now in the circle. And now so that foreigner is entitled to get what?
I was looking forward to do the PhD.
yeah, exactly. Now you are shutting the dream of a lot of people. Not only you, a lot of people. Even me, I don't know if I'm able to qualify next year because I want to go and do.
That's
a free module with the DS still standing at the NAS.
No, you are not.
Because I cannot afford.
You are not. I cannot qualify anymore. You're out. You know?
This is shattering our dream.
Yeah.
And remember, only few people who are qualified even meet the criteria to go to study those institutions which you are talking about. Why don't give everybody a chance? It's very questionable when you're saying a free education, but you will come up with a criteria to exclude a lot of people.
Yeah.
Remember? That's the way we put it, like, no, if this person was maybe studying and she got a job somewhere, allocated, I mean, you know, in Namibia, how it does work. Then you find yourself like in Katima, And now, because it's the job, and you are not able to come even throughout the exam, you drop out for that year. So there's no chance for you again.
Yeah.
You see now. No, man.
Yeah.
This is not a free education we are expecting.
Yeah.
No. They must come up with something really addressing the issue. Not the way it is. There are some few people who are meeting the requirement of an university.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, again, a lot of people, they are able to what? That's why we have people who are doing NAMCO for 5 years, trying to improve just English. The person is having a lot of points, but because of we cannot end up university without to what? A D symbol of English. It's able to repeat over NAMCO and over. But now, a person needs, okay, now you maybe like my case, I fell free this module.
Yeah.
I supposed to be already graduated long time. And because I cannot afford, that's why I left. Because I have other commitment also to.
Yeah, and
to
take this care is of exactly what I'm saying. One have to look at case by case, I think, you know. Because individual may not have given, from last year, they were not given, they didn't get NASFAF loan, for example.
No.
They were maybe on their own.
Exactly. We didn't pay ourselves, some of us.
And they didn't finish. Now, when they come now and apply for, you know, now they want to go and finish, they are not qualified.
I'm telling you, no. this is not a free education we are expecting from them.
That's not fair. That's
no,
not fair.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so I think, as I said, case by case, that would be, would actually help. Yeah, so. Depending, maybe the person is coming from a rural area, where from a poor background.
Poor background.
And they couldn't finish last year.
Mm.
You still push them in the same, you push them still in the,
poverty
the same situation.
Life. Yeah. Exactly. The same and this is what is happening. This is what is happening. Because remember one thing, that the people who are able to afford.
Yeah.
The people who are having already a resource. They are able to file it free of two sub-modules. Then they are able to pay off. Then they continue with the next legislation. But I'm telling you, a security
and,
card...
And the thing is this, when you look at it well, when you look at it, people who are more likely to repeat are the ones that are actually coming from the background where they couldn't afford.
I'm telling you.
You understand?
And then we have a scenario, you know, in season they are having a record where they say this one is then struggling even to pay off those years. But he end up there because of this free module, is not able to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they come free education, they're screwing you out again.
Mm.
What is this now? Is this what you call free education? No way. I don't think so. They have to come up with something.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes I just, no, sometimes they do it for because of campaign. That's why I was even saying, no, guys, we'll be able to do those. Whatever they are promising. You see now, whatever they come up with. It's what I'm saying, at the end of the day, it's a poor person always suffering.
Yeah.
At the end of the petition, we are trying to what? Just to manipulate people, votes. And this is what is going on. Otherwise, you cannot come up with something just it's supposed to be inclusive for everybody. Who qualify, who meet the requirement of the university.
Yeah.
But you are saying no now for repeaters and the people who are going for postgraduate, they are not qualified. What are you telling us? You say free education, you didn't say it before when you are campaigning. Anyway, Mike, let me end up this.
Right.
Yeah. No, if you can, because I think the people are not calling, is it?
No, let's it's there a few minutes. Let's see whether someone maybe come through as well. So it's all right.
Okay, then.
Okay, great. All right. 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091. If you want to come through as well and have your say. So where does this really leave us? Where does this leave us, Namibia? So that's where you need to come in. Yeah. So the government plan is not a magic button. All right. I think that's one thing. It's not a magic button that you just press and everything. It's all right. One have to acknowledge that it's a pragmatic and perhaps
even conservative, if you like. You know, first step, I think, one look at that way, it's a first step. It is cautiously choosing to cast a smaller, more targeted net rather than a wide one. You understand? So it prioritizes, you know, it prioritizes, you look at it this way, it prioritizes breadth, you know, depth and breadth, you know, getting many first-time student, you know, through the door over debt. It's prioritizing depth, a breadth, you know, many over depth, you know, supporting lifelong learning and top-tier specialist training, because that's what it prioritizes. It prioritizes more getting many first-time students through the door. Now, the big, I think the big takeaway for me is that I think this is not a free education for all, as actually what Mandumi was saying. It's not a free education for all. It's a targeted subsidy. Seriously, it's a targeted subsidy with clear strings attached. Targeted subsidy with clear strings attached. It's a bet on youth, definitely. It's a bet on youth. For those of us, as I said, I was looking forward to a PhD, but now, so it's a bet on youth. I can agree on the first chances. So, and on the strength of our public institution. That's also depending on the strength of our public institution. But it also raises a profound question about fairness. I think that's which would be difficult. It's sometimes difficult to strike a balance. It's not something that easy. It's very difficult to strike a balance. But yeah, so the question about fairness, second chance, surely that's an issue. And our long-term strategy for becoming a knowledge-based economy. If there's no fund for your postgraduate, so what happened to our long-term strategy for becoming a knowledge-based economy? So we will still hire, you know, expatriate. We still hire, you know, foreigners for specialized field. I think depending how you're looking at it anyway. So yeah, we still have about 3 minutes. What do you think, Namibia? So is this the right way to start? I'm asking you to discuss this, you know, wherever you find yourself, not only here, but is this the right way to start? Is it fair to exclude a repeated student? That's one of the biggest ones. And those seeking a second qualification. So I think that's one of the biggest for me that need some kind of a review. It need to be reviewed again. So how urgent is the need for the postgraduate priority list, for example? So don't we see that as it's a postgraduate, you know, priority list should be an urgent need? Would that be only about a year? Would it be about a few months? Or what, you know, that postgraduate priority list, how long that's going to take? Are we building a foundation for the future? Or are we missing a crucial piece of the puzzle, really? So, yeah. So, yeah, wherever you find yourself, make sure that you discuss that. Get involved, discuss, and So, and probably we also, as I said, we also need to be very realistic. We need to look at the budget reality, the 2025-2026 financial plan earmarks about 2.1 billion for the subsidy. A sizable chunk of that, that's actually a sizable chunk of the national budget, really. So, as I said, we have to be realistic as well. That's one thing. So definitely there will be some policy alignment. The rules echoes the, when you look at that, it really echoes Namibia's education and training policy of 2015 and the Higher Education Act of 2005. Which stress quality, relevance, and equity. Okay? So so what we're trying to do is to bring everybody to the table, everyone to the table, you know, make it more relevant and have that everybody get a piece of a pie, you know. It's basically that. And then there are those that would be excluded. You know, even I'm talking about equity. So it could be also political pressure. There's also political pressure. The ruling party promised free tertiary education. And this was actually in its already 2019 election manifesto. That was already there. In a 2019 election manifesto. That was there. So the rollout had to be realistic and not a free for all. That would bankrupt the treasury. I can tell you that would actually bankrupt the treasury. So, but it has to be realistic, and one can understand that. So, and of course, we're talking about fairness as well in certain rules, but it got to be realistic. Otherwise, you bankrupt your treasury. All right. Yeah. So make sure that you read through that. And and discuss, discuss wherever you find yourself. All right. So well, I think that that brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day this morning. And thanks for Dr. Henriette Paulus for making time to come through this morning. And discuss the significance of this day, Women's Day, and especially looking at the what women are going through when it comes to mental health issues. Thanks for coming, for making time and talk to our listeners. So thank you for listening and also for taking part in the show. Let's do that tomorrow again. Let's book that time from 8 to 10 and do the same. So my name is Michael Chevalier, and I wish you a pleasant day ahead and a good listening for the programs that are coming your way today. So from me, Mike, let's have a good one.